Good evening and welcome to the City Council meeting. Today is April 30th, 2026. Madam Clerk, please call the roll.
Ms. Therrien?
Here.
Mr. Cleworth?
Here.
Ms. Sprinkle?
I'm here.
Mr. Ringstad?
Here.
Mr. Marney?
I'm here.
Ms. Tidwell?
Here.
Mayor O'Neill?
Here. Thank you. Mr. Ringstad, would you please read the land acknowledgement?
We respectfully acknowledge the Dene'i people upon whose traditional lands we reside. We honor the Dene'i and who have been the stewards of this interior lands and waters for centuries, the elders who lived here before, the Dene'i people of today, the future generations to come. We also recognize Alaska Native people who traditionally gather here and harvest Native foods.
Thank you. If you're able, please stand for the invocation.
We come together this evening with gratitude for the privilege of serving the people of Fairbanks. May we approach the work before us with open minds, steady focus, and a shared commitment to the well-being of our community. Amen.
Amen.
Ms. Tidwell, will you start us in the Pledge of Allegiance?
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Item 5 is ceremonial matters with proclamations, introductions, recognitions, or awards. We don't have any this evening, so we'll move on to item 6, citizens' comments. The total comment period is up to 1 hour, and testimony is limited to 3 minutes. Any person wishing to speak needs to sign up on the list located in the hallway or must have signed up in advance using the procedures for providing online testimony found in the city website. Respectful standards of decorum and courtesy should be observed by all speakers. Remarks should be directed to the City Council as a body rather than to any particular council member or member of the staff. In consideration of others, please silence all cell phones and electronic devices. First on my list is David Hayden.
Hello, my name is David Hayden. I live downtown. I'm an architect. I'm also on the Downtown Association for Fairbanks. I've been involved in downtown projects for close to 30 years, starting from like Spring Hill Suites to the courthouse to the parking garage when I worked at Bettesworth, and then more recently, everything from Goldie's at the old fire station to converting the train station at Spruce Tree to the Spruce Tree Monastery, and even the new food truck on Noble Street. I'm here to talk about the Polaris site. I'm here to give you a different vision of the Polaris site. First, I would like to explain the vision or the site. It's not that big and it's not that great because there's a giant parking garage to one side, and that takes away all the southern good light from it. And then to the west, there is a big blank wall of the Lacey Street Theater. So those are two pretty big conditions that kind of set up the site for not that great of conditions for an activity or even a building. So I got to thinking, like, what am I really missing in this town? And in my 20s, I used to drive out to the Howling Dog to see live music. And then later on, we'd drive out to the Crazy Loon, which then became the Blue Loon. And I had that throughout my 30s and 40s. And then the Blue Loon burned down because it was kind of a substandard structure. And then they started rebuilding it, but we still don't have a replacement for the Blue Loon. So my vision, which I'm going to pass out to you, and I ask you not to, there's 12 copies here. You can't keep them. And please don't take any photos of them because it's intellectual property. Let's say that. So I did this exterior rendering, kind of showing what it could look like. And then I also put a floor plan in there showing a 450 person theater or a 900 person standing, place for concerts. And it would be two tiered. There'd be a balcony all along the second floor so that the two ages could be accommodated for. So there'd be a drinking age on the first floor. And then on the second floor, it would have a, like an underage group upstairs, so you can keep them separated. And from what I heard, that this would be great for different concert venues. And so I'm just here to kind of show you a different vision of it. I guess my next step is to find investors for it. Architects, I guess, do this in other cities. They come up with a vision, and then they go rattle the cages to see who's out there. Just sharing this vision.
Thank you so much for your testimony. Are there any questions? Mr. Marney.
David, thank you for this. It's one thing Fairbanks lacks in the downtown core is music and some kind of entertainment, and I think this is would be perfect on that lot.
On this one, I didn't put a kitchen on it, just so that when it's over, people would maybe leave out to all the other restaurants around it and be almost like an attraction for downtown. And, downtown needs more attractions for younger people.
Thank you again.
Ms. Sprinkle.
Dave, does this have the ability to also be a movie theater like the Blue Loon used to be?
Yeah, I was thinking a flat floor would be the best floor on the first floor. So it wouldn't be sloped. It would just have those removable theater chairs like the Blue Loon did.
So it is almost
the
same kind
of use.
It's
just like the Blue Loon.
Yeah.
I just raised platforms around the outside with a bar. One of the problems with Adam's business plan there, he's only had one bar in there. And so he couldn't really serve the amount of drinks that needed to be served at events. So there's these huge lines. So on this one, I have different bar stations around the central part. And I think Fairbanks Concert Association talked to me about having dinner theaters there. So we'd probably want to put a catering kitchen in this plan. But it kind of fits just perfect.
Ms. Therrien.
We must have run around the same circles because I used to go to the Howlin' Dog and the Blue Loon a lot. And this would include dancing as well, right?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I was just at a fundraiser where we were dancing. I was like, oh my gosh, I used to dance so much more when there was a decent place to do it.
Yeah. Right. Do you have any people that are interested yet, or are you just starting?
No, I did this drawing just a few weeks ago, and then just because if anyone else saw the Grand North Star Lodge up in Esther, just weird AI rendering, I'm like, oh God, I could do something like that. And so, voila. It's not that hard. No investors, but I do have a pretty strong client base that I can call up. But, the big thing is finding the person to run it is key. I mean, Adam was kind of a jack of all trades. And, it was fun to watch him work that.
Mr. Hayden, I have a question for you. Are you aware that the RFP for the site will be out on May 1st?
Yep.
And do you think that 60 days is a long enough time to put together investors and builders and the team that you need to appropriately apply or put in a proposal for that?
I don't know. Never done it before.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for your proposal.
Yep.
We have to turn them in now, huh?
Yeah, sorry.
Great. It's like Tom.
Next on the list is Meredith Coates. Good evening, Ms. Coates.
Hello there.
Hi. Just say your name for the record and spell your last name and say your area of residence.
Coates.
Right.
I need a pillow. I'll just sit on the edge. My name is Meredith Coates. I live in Taku Subdivision, and I've lived in that subdivision for 55 years. That was before the Hager Road Bridge was built. The Hager Road Wall also. Those all came later. must tell you, this is the first time I've ever done this, and I'm a little nervous. So I have a question before you mark my time down. If I ask a question, is anybody going to be able to answer me back? Because when you're at the borough, you're talking to all these faces, and you don't know how you stand. Is that the same way here? Okay. Get me back on the clock then.
We're able to have conversation when we have comments on the agenda, but we're not able to have a back and forth conversation with you during testimony.
I have to tell you that I've been really working on this since last Friday. I got to bed at 2:30 this morning because I was comparing all my notes from the January 30 and the April 8. I decided that when I got up this morning that I was going the wrong way. It dawned on me that I was trying to reinvent the wheel in 3 minutes, and I'm not going to try and do that. I left so much out. Also, I've talked to five of my neighbors. None of this have ever heard of this project, and I, too, had never heard of this project until I read the January 30th paper. And it caught my eye because the first house that I lived in, bought, is on the picture here. So then it really caught my interest. I have read about all the different scenarios, and I don't know what all of you are going to vote on, but it seems like it comes down to what Mr. Fox said, is that, that this is a federal grant is, and I'm doing these word for word because I wouldn't know how to make all this stuff up. The federal grant is for construction of a river walk, Fox said. Connecting the Chena Landing Loop is not a river walk. So I was hoping he'd be here if he could give me some kind of an answer as to where he was coming up with these 1,200 people a day that use the existing portion of the Chena River Walk, which goes, you know, in front of the Carlson Center and all that. Because, you know, we're a small town, but we're spread out. We don't really have 12, 15 stories high like Anchorage does. And we're a car town. And I don't understand where this river walk is going to improve something. I'll have to read what Chair Wade Binkley said. He said, this body has supported this.
It's okay. You can keep going.
Okay. I'll try and hurry. There's a desire to have an interaction between the community and the river. Well, you know, I have walked from Noble Street all the way through Alaska Land. That is a river walk in my eyes. You know, you can stop it at the Morris Thompson place and go to the river. You can stop at the First Family on down where the people take their dogs to do their jobs, Carlson Center, and just keep walking and walking. And you're going to end up at the end of the path where people can walk under the bridge, you know, to get over to Taku Subdivision. Most of the time you can get under the bridge. Occasionally you can't, and I think this is going to be a year because of the snow. And we have been known for some torrential rains, but, you know, it all dries up pretty soon. So that path that's under the bridge is very, very used all the time. I just don't understand what is so important about this river walk. I'll try and make this real quick right here because I don't understand this part either. The proposed third stage would be seen as a preferred route to bike or walk onto Johansson. Would be a preferred walk to bike or walk into downtown from the Johansson Expressway. What are you proposing? Another trail, or what? I personally would never walk the Johansson or ride a bike there. There's crazy people out there, winter and summer, the way they drive, let's put it that way. So I'll sum this up right now. I don't know what all of you are going to do, and I don't even know if it's going to be considered tonight. But I feel like in reading these two articles that there's about four of you on the board that are sort of leaning one way, and I'm not sure about the other. But I just kind of want to read you with this last comment that is from an Yvette Hall, a DOT project engineer, and said it's better to bring concerns up in the design phase rather than address them during construction. I can't give you any better advice than that. I have been through this before with my apartments. I went through it at my own house 3 years ago and getting new windows. Okay, that's it. I have a lot more, but I'll shut up.
Thank you for your testimony. Ms. Therrien?
Yes, you were the one that called me on Saturday?
Yes.
I'm sorry I wasn't able. We had this big meeting here for 3 hours, but... you like what so far we have from downtown to Alaskaland?
Correct.
Then I think it's going to go up Pega Road and then go further because of the concerns of the bridge. There's a lot of concerns about the cost. So are you aware of all that?
I am, but I didn't bring up the cost because... In the paper, there's a whole lot of you that do not agree with this $800 from the railroad. And now the tables have turned on the other part of being so expensive. I just don't see where there's going to be so much traffic on this Riverwalk. Because let's face it, we're in our cars a lot because it's cold out there. And I have been watching people for 50 years on my side of the Pega Road wall. I see people walking their dogs. I see people jogging because they're trying to lose weight. I see kids bicycling. I see just about everything, even kids that are running for their high schools, track. And I just don't see it. If you are on the Pega Road Bridge, there is a walkway there that is concrete, and then it drops down to dirt, and that's where I see bicyclists. I see all kinds of people walking there. I just don't think that 6 months out of the year that this is going to be used very much. Okay, thank you.
Thank you for your testimony. Thanks for being here this evening. Is there anyone else that would like to provide testimony this evening? Ms. Jones?
Thank you for letting me extend my time.
Of course. Now you'll be an old hat the next time you want to come.
I'm sorry?
Now you'll be an old hat the next time you want to testify. You'll know how it all goes.
Hello, I'm Julie Jones. I live in the Esther community, and I work in downtown Fairbanks. Today I'm here representing Festival Fairbanks regarding the Chena Riverwalk Resolution 5207. I just wanted to speak in favor of that project. Festival Fairbanks has been involved with this project for a long time, and because the railroad property is where the rest of the Riverwalk will be finished, we were not able to keep the project in Festival Fairbanks due to the railroad wanting to work with a municipality, so we chose to put it into the city. And so that's the quick background, and we just would like to not throw the baby out with the bathwater. We understand that this price tag was overblown for this phase, and we agree 100% that is too much money at this point. We believe that if fast planning goes forward with, for example, a request for proposals, that it would probably come in more in the $3 to $4 million range, more realistically. We also are very much in favor of the elevated walkway. It was part of the original design due to the wetland there, and the railroad can't sell that to housing or another developer, but they are willing to allow us to put the elevated walkway, which there are many examples of down in the Kenai and Anchorage of these types of walkways. So they're very popular in our state for river viewing, fishing, and enjoying the river. So we just would like to speak in favor of that project and hoping that it will not be discontinued, but go forward with more ideas of how to bring the price down. And I think that those are on the horizon. So
thank you for your testimony. Any questions? Ms. Therian.
I guess the railroad doesn't want to lease the property anymore. They want it to be bought.
Yes, it was supposed to be given to us for free, just to be clear about that.
Yeah.
And then when the funding was already in place, but they decided to develop it, the brakes were put on for many years. So this project has been delayed, even though the funding was in place for the last 3 to 4 years to do this phase. And, of course, the price of everything went up due to, I think it was 2023 it was supposed to happen, but everything was in place before the COVID, and, of course, the price of everything went up. So that might be part of the reason for this estimate.
And have you been going to ask planning at all to keep on top of what's going on?
The most recent meetings, yes, Ms. Therian, okay. Yes.
Great, thank you.
Yeah.
Great, thank you so much for your testimony. Thank you. Is there anyone else that would like to provide testimony this evening before we close public comments? All right, seeing none, we'll move on to item 7, approval of agenda and consent agenda. Consent agenda items are indicated by asterisks. Consent agenda items are considered together unless a council member requests that the item be returned to the general agenda. Ordinances on the approved consent agenda are automatically advanced to the next regular meeting for second reading and public hearing. All other items on the approved consent agenda are passed as final. Is there a motion to approve the agenda and consent agenda? Ms. Therian. Is there a second? Seconded by Ms. Sprinkle. Any objection?
Right now, resolution 5207 is on the consent agenda.
Correct.
I'd like to take it off.
Okay. Is there any objection? All right, seeing none, Madam Clerk, will you read the consent agenda into the record?
The consent agenda approved the regular meeting minutes of March 9th and March 23rd, 2026. It also approved resolution number 5208, a resolution authorizing the City of Fairbanks to apply for and accept funding from the Bureau of Justice Assistance for the FY 2025 Edward Byron Memorial Justice Assistance Grant, sponsored by Mayor O'Neill. It also approved the appointments to the Building Code and Landscape Review and Appeals Commission, and it accepted the 2026 Quarter One Sole Source Procurement Report. And that brings us to special orders. I'm going to continue. Special orders, the Fairbanks City Council will hear interested citizens concerned with the following alcohol license applications for renewal. Public testimony will be taken and limited to 3 minutes. License number 1639, Alaska Salmon Bake. License 5780, Jazz Bistro Havana Nights. License 5926, Fat Burger. License 5169, Hoodoo Brewing Company. And license 3118, VFW Post number 3629.
Is there any motion of protest for these items? Mr. Ringstead? Wait, protest? Is there a second? Seconded by Mr. Marnie. Any discussion?
We need to have a public hearing.
Ms. Sprinkle?
No information about
them. Typically with renewals, you just have a cover memo from the clerk unless there was any kind of departmental protest or any other unusual circumstance or potential problem with the license. But we need to have a public hearing, I believe, Mayor.
Thank you.
Is there anyone here to speak on behalf of any of these alcohol licenses that are up for renewal? Okay. Thanks for being here. With that, are there any questions or debate? Any objection? There's no objection to waive protest. We'll move on to item 10. Report from Fairbanks Alaska Native Organizations. This will be, we talked to them today, and this will be, did I skip one? So on item 10, they will be here at our next regular meeting. I'm going to move up to item 9B.
Interested citizens concerned with the following package store sampling endorsement application. Public testimony will be taken, limited to 3 minutes. This is for package store number 703, doing business as Gavore's Fine Wine. The applicant is Market Basket, Inc., and it's located at 250 3rd Street.
We'll open public hearing. Is there anyone here to provide public hearing on this matter? Seeing none, look for a motion to waive protest. Mr. Ringstead, seconded by Ms. Therrien. Any debate, discussion, or questions? Seeing none, we'll move on to the mayor's comments and report. So from the mayor's office, we've had a bit of a shuffling around in employees recently. So I just wanted to highlight some of our employees that have been hired and have been moved around. The finance department has is fully staffed at this time, and we welcome Erica Bennett and the other employees that were transferred to different positions, Jen Payan from payroll to grants, right? Thank you, and then we have one that's on maternity leave. Welcome to Jillian McCarley, who is our legal department legal secretary. So that has been hired, and she started last week. She returned to Fairbanks after a year in Michigan, and we're excited to have her at the front desk there. Roy Brandt from the Public Works as a facilities foreman retired. And Alex Lexa has been promoted to the role of facilities manager. And we know that Bob Pristash will be retiring later this month, and Tim Zinza has been designated as the acting city engineer in his stead. On our risk management and purchasing and safety training, city staff have accumulated over 17,000 hours of verified training to meet the requirements of Loss Control Incentive Program. This is the program that saves saves the city $100,000 in our insurance premium. So well done on city staff for that. And then finally, our voluntary property cleanup program has been launched. The funds have been appropriated by within the city budget, so there's no extra cost to taxpayers. And we look forward to a successful summer again with those, with that effort. I also passed out an update on the RFP process with our listening sessions. So that colorful handout, it kind of goes through the stages of the proposal and what we know so far, what are some of the themes that have popped out. The survey is still live. It is on our website and on our Facebook pages. There's also a flyer at your desk that you could use, send to your friends, put up at a shop somewhere if you'd like to share that around, and that survey will close this Friday. And finally, this is the last week of the fellowship with the U.S. City of Mayors. And so myself, Corey Durattigliano with Fast Planning, and Chief of Staff Mike Sanders will make our way to Boston to do a final presentation on
what we've learned over the last 11 weeks and how we will implement this within the city of Fairbanks. We're excited that we get, as part of this program, we get a graduate fellow who will, a design graduate fellow who will be working with us, and also a resource team that we have to use as consultants as part of this process, and no fees to the city. Are there any questions? Yeah, Ms. Sprinkle.
Great, you guys are going. When do you guys go? When do you leave?
Tonight.
Oh, wow. Okay, wow.
Yeah.
That's going to be exciting. So when you get back, we will start to see an RFP to review ourselves. Is that, I mean, okay, very
correct.
Good.
Yep.
Fantastic. Thank you. Yes. That's all I, yeah.
Mr. Marnie?
May I ask, did we have any results from the RFI?
The RFI did not have any proposals that were submitted. We did field about half a dozen calls of individuals who are interested in the question of whether or not they would have to submit an RFI to submit the RFP. So there's definitely interest, but there wasn't any that submitted an RFI.
Thank you.
Yep. Ms. Therian.
Thank you for providing this. On the listening sessions, was there any one thing that you felt you weren't prepared to hear that was kind of startling or that piqued your interest a lot?
That's a really good question. I think personally for me, I heard a lot about the concern of safety downtown, and I recognize that that is, something that we talk about, but I didn't realize in all the different ways that that impacts folks in our community, and that was brought up significantly in every work session. But I think generally the feedback was, it was not surprising, but it was interesting how consistent it was throughout the sessions.
And if I might ask, what were they talking about? Were they elaborating?
Yeah, it's it has a lot to do with our unhoused population that's downtown. It has a lot to do with mental health issues that we see often. Typically or oftentimes with folks who are experiencing homelessness. But aside from that, it also included lighting. It included sidewalks and how they break up for cars often. So it really, and the inconsistency of being able to move around downtown as a pedestrian. Ms. Sprinkle.
Through conversations I've had with some staff, I heard that the concept of White Horse bubbled up a lot.
Oh, yeah.
And I think that's really, really curious because I myself feel like that's an opportunity to look at and see what they've got going on. You know, what are their design my brain stopped. The design plans, their zoning, you know, what the incentives are. I think it'd be really, really interesting to pull out some of that and see where we compare.
Yeah.
So I'm excited to know that you are interested in that.
Absolutely. White Horse and Levingston, Washington. Is that the other one? Levensworth. All right. Yeah. So those were the two places that came up pretty continually.
Great.
And White Horse, I know in particular, has a history of, you know, growing in a manner that has attracted folks to their community quite a bit in the last decade.
Yeah.
So I think that's great. All right. Thanks for those questions, and let me know if you have any others coming up. Move on to council member comments. Does any council member have a comment? Mr. Ringstead.
Well, I wanted to have some discussion with the council here. Val and I are going to Juneau tomorrow morning, meeting with legislators, and one of the things that's been happening and that I think that we're been out of loop, I mentioned a little bit, was this group of five borough mayors that the governor's been talking to about financing in lieu of property taxes, what have you, how it affects impacts on local government. It concerns me significantly that you have five borough mayors and you got about 10 mayors in the same rail belt corridor. The cities aren't involved in this. I've talked with friends down in Kenai. They're in the same position we are, City of Kenai, City of Soldotna, the communities of Nikiski, that are not in that discussion at all. I figured that while we're down there, we probably ought to at least bring that up and talk to our legislators and some of our friends about the concern we have. If we're going to sit down and negotiate a payment in lieu of taxes or some other structure, that we would like to be at the table. Then it occurred to me that on our priority list of what it is we've approved as a priority list is a council that's not on it. So I was hoping we could get some consensus as to whether or not you want us to say something while we're down there the next 2 days. I think we'd be foolish to not take the opportunity to bring it up while they're in the middle of discussions down there if we're going to be there. So since we haven't done it, any objections to that?
No.
Mr. Okay. Rinks, I had two updates for you on that note. First is that the Tiger team that the borough sets up with the military has been changed to a natural gas focus for the pipeline. So that's one way that we've been engaging in that conversation. That includes Mayor Tersh and myself and Greyer. But also AML is starting to organize the other mayors for a formal discussion on that front. But
we started that discussion a couple of weeks ago on one of the calls, the Friday afternoon calls that myself and Lisa Parker down here and I brought it up.
Oh, good.
Down there.
I certainly think it's a great idea, though, to mention it downtown or down there. Yeah, Ms. Theory.
On that front, I was going to talk about it later, but since we're on our way to Juneau at 3 in the morning, just with regard to defined benefits, they're suggesting it go up from 22 to 24. I assume everybody agrees we don't want that? Okay.
And
I know that
Margarita
our,
was going to
but
us
now that we have some specifics, I just want to make sure.
Margarita said you were going to have some numbers for us so we'd have some specifics.
Mm-hmm. She has
thank you,
said that.
Margarita.
Yep. Any other council member comments?
Yes.
Ms. Therian.
I'd like to be excused for the rest of the meetings till May 9th.
Wait a minute, lady.
Because I'm going on my
honeymoon
to Scotland, and I won't be able to call it.
Multiple
only if you bring back some golf balls.
Yeah, we get some golf balls.
Do we have to make a motion or anything?
I don't think so.
There's no issue. Then we don't.
Have a good time.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah,
for sure.
Any other council member
bring
comments?
Back that good weather,
Mr. Kleeworth.
Thank you, Mayor. To follow up on Valerie there regarding the defined benefits. Yeah, our number one item was pertaining to the 22%. Backing that up, there was information showing how much the city residents and the borough residents have paid for that legacy debt, which is just staggering amounts. And for them to raise it even more, I think that's probably Bert Stedman. Was he the one that's talking about that? Or
mm-hmm.
Okay. I mean, I think Bert's doing it as a political play to show people that getting into this new defined benefit plan has a risk. And that to keep it at 22%, if that thing goes into the red, then it'll be on the state's nickel and not the city's and the municipality's nickels. And I think our position has always been, we do not administer that fund. If it goes into the red, it's nothing that we can control at all. And we have suggested that in the past that these funds should not go into the red if they're successfully managed. And they've got things in that bill that they have passed that are real red flags. And they, as far as I know, they haven't addressed any of them, which is puzzling to me. because they know they caused problems in the past, and yet they haven't tackled those two issues. But I'll end on that because it's kind of out of our hands at this point. But yes, you have. That's our number one item. So I hope you hammer it home.
We will. Ms. Sprinkle.
Jerry, I was trying to remember, what year did that come to light and they finally started this new system to pay the debt, start paying the debt off?
It's 2004 or 2005.
Four or five.
Yeah, there.
Okay, I was trying to remember.
And then that's when the actuary was being sued, too.
Were they? Did they get away with it? Did they get
No, the state sued them and they won a settlement, but it was nowhere near the debts that they had created.
Wow, that's crazy.
Yeah.
Ms. Sprinkle.
Ascertain whether or not we have a date that the Ardor Committee starts working. Has anything happened? Because, oh, maybe you have it? Okay.
Yeah, they did a doodle poll, and it's going to be Thursday at 1:30.
Good. I'm excited for you. Where do you guys meet?
Over at Jomo's office. Okay. I guess he's got a meeting room over there.
Great, great.
Well, I got a lot of reading to do.
Okay. All right. In that spirit, we'll move on to item 13, unfinished business.
Ordinance number 6345, an ordinance amending Fairbanks General Code Section 74-40, Sales and Excise Tax Requirement Definitions, Section 74-116, Room Rental Tax Definitions, and Section 74-118, Room Rental Tax Levy and Collection, to add Marketplace Facilitator. This was sponsored by Mayor O'Neill, the second reading and public hearing.
Thank you. We heard this in a work session, and Ms. Bell, do you have anything to review or any more information to provide?
I do not have any additional information. Good evening, council members. Just to add marketplace facilitators, I should say, to apply the 8% room rental tax, and it will notify the local operators that there is a tax in the city of Fairbanks.
And at this time, I'll open up public hearing. Is there anyone here who would like to speak on this matter? Seeing none, public hearing is closed. Is there a motion? Ms. Sprinkle, seconded by Ms. Therrien. Debate and discussion. Mr. Cleworth.
Thank you, Mayor. Kind of follow up on our discussion at the work session. Marguerite, on page 2, there up at the top, it says, to facilitate for consideration, regardless of whether deducted as fees from the transaction, the sale or rental of seller's property product or services through, and so on and so forth there. I do find that confusing still. I mean, what we are taxing is the room rental itself or the B&B rental itself. If they're selling goods in there to those people, we're not taxing those goods. And I don't know what the term sale of a seller's property, that just confuses me. I'm looking for wisdom.
Okay. To maintain the sale or rental of a seller's property, this just really kind of notifies the real estate industry that if they are in the role of renting and not necessarily selling the property, because the code defines what is taxed, that it's a room rental, is less than 30 days. This just notify a person that's in that dual role that they are also subject to it if they are renting a property, even though they may be a real estate agent or they may be someone that's in a seller of a properties, that they are too subject to it if they are falling under that 30-day rule.
Mr. Cleworth, do you have anything else?
I mean, if I were a novice reading this, I would think, oh, I would still think that I'm supposed to pay a tax on products I might sell there at the B&B. And the sale, it just seems like the word's totally out of place here because we're not selling a property, you're renting out to a customer, essentially. So I just find it confusing, that's all.
Ms. Therian.
I thought Mr. Marnie had brought this up and we were going to have a substitute striking the words about sale, and I didn't see that. So I would move that we strike in Section 1 after the word transaction, the sale or, and also strike on the top of page 2, the sale or. Because I think this just really needs to deal with rentals.
I'm going to second that.
Okay. The motion's been made to remove the word sale or in sections 1 and 2. It's been seconded by Mr. Cleworth. Ms. Sprinkle?
It makes perfect sense to do that. I just want to make sure with our attorney, we aren't getting into anything illegal by not including those three words. Is that right? Based on code?
Yeah, I think that actually clears it up a little bit. Some of these definitions, cellar, room, are in the definition section in this section, but I think striking the sale or and just keeping it as rental of the seller's property is clearer.
Do we change the header as the title? Do we take the word sales out, sales and?
Oh yeah.
I would actually advise leaving that in because I think it's the actual title of the section.
Okay, very good. Oh, I see that. Yes, of course.
Mr. Ringstad. Okay. Any further questions, comments, or debate? Oh, was there any objection to that? Sounded like we were all on the same page. Removing those officially. Okay, without objection. Yep. Madam Clerk, will you please call the roll?
On the motion to adopt Ordinance 6345 as amended, let me get to the right page. Sorry, Council. Mr. Ringstad?
Yes.
Ms. Therian?
Yes.
Mr. Marnie?
Yes.
Ms. Sprinkle?
Yes.
Mr. Cleworth?
Yes.
Ms. Tidwell?
Yes.
Motion passes. Ordinance number 6345 is adopted by the council. Item 14, new business. Item A, resolution number 5207, a resolution opposing the current design and funding approach for Fast Planning's Chenar Riverwalk Stage 3 project and encouraging consideration of more cost-effective alternatives. Sponsored by council members Tidwell, Cleworth, Ringstad, and Therian. Ms. Therian, you took this off the consent agenda. Would you like to begin?
Approve.
Move to approve.
Second.
Some motions to approve on the table by Ms. Therian, seconded by Ms. Sprinkle.
I guess I thought at our last work session that Ms. Tidwell was going to do some amendments to this. Have you had a chance to do that?
Yeah, I can speak to that. So they're included in this because I hadn't brought this forward. We only had it at the work session. Okay. And I can tell you the two things that were suggested were including the original cost of the project. And so I added that into the third whereas. And then there was a word that Mr. Fox suggested that it was kind of odd in there. And I don't have my other copy of it. Tom, do you remember which word it was? It was in one of the last whereases.
It's in section 2, the last full line, including serious consideration of lower cost alternatives and keeping the word alternatives but not alternative routes.
Correct, yeah. So I took out that word route. There was an extra word in there. And to say a little more, I mean, I would just like to remind everyone that you know, the first section one down at the bottom of page one, it's not opposing a potential Riverwalk project. It's opposing the current design and cost structure. And I think that we all agree on that. And hopefully we will pass this evening. It will be up for consideration and discussion at Fast Planning on Wednesday. So hopefully we'll have this passed and able to talk about it at that meeting also.
Sprinkle.
I'm going to vote yes for this. And my question, though, to you is, at Fast Planning, are there numbers? You know, where's our threshold, I guess, is what's too expensive, what's right? How does that get dealt with? Because what we found here is that, oh, here's our price tag, it's too high. I don't know enough about any of this, but I certainly would think it'd be great for us to know what we're getting into before we get 90% down a design like we are here.
And I agree with you, and I can't begin to guess how the conversation will go. I think there's a lot of questions from a lot of the people on Fast Planning, not just us.
Yeah.
So whether, you know, we decide to put it back out there, you know, talk about the alternatives, there's not any definite thing coming forward at this time.
One more follow-up, and thank you, because I think that makes sense. If we are trying to find out who's going to maintain this thing, someone has said yes, it would make sense that they also be part of this conversation because, you know, what are they going to maintain without knowing what?
And they are.
Okay,
the borough mayor and there's an assembly member also. So there's two assembly people on Fast Planning.
Thank you.
And they've verbally committed to doing the maintenance and providing the match. So
okay. Yeah. Great.
It's a pretty good deal for the city.
Fantastic. Thank you.
Ms. Therrien?
I guess the reason that I removed it is I didn't realize that this was actually amended because I didn't have time to compare, and Ms. Tidwell didn't let us know that it had been amended. So I'm glad that we had a chance to discuss this and just make sure that the changes that we wanted were done. Thank you.
Mr. Cleworth?
Thank you, Mayor. The meat of this is Section 3 and Section 4, essentially. City Council affirms that City does not intend to commit local matching funds, and 4 does not intend to assume ownership, operation, or long-term maintenance. We already have the maintenance on the bridge, right? That's ours. I mean, where Fast Planning goes is kind of up to them, but we just are on record as a council saying we are not going to be providing the money for that. And I don't think we should because we're already taking part of it. I've had a good talk with Julie and the work that they have done over the years, and I know their dreams are big. I just am not excited about this path, and she knows that. I find it to be redundant, and I'm not even sure once you get to Pegger Road and you go up the east side of Pegger Road where the heck you're going, but I should probably have figured that one out. And the other side makes more sense, and that's when you go under the bridge, come up, and you go over the bridge and you're on the west side. That makes sense. I wish the alternatives would still be in there. I know Jackson said, well, that is not a river walk. You can always repurpose funds. And he also did say that. It's just that the price tag of this just got way out of hand. And there's a point where you have to go, wonderful idea, but it's not a wonderful amount anymore. And it's totally impractical. And there's so many better uses for that money under CMAQ considerations. And I know I harp on this a lot, but it should be the sidewalks inside the city that are not ADA compliant should be our number one concern on anything that we do and Fast Planning does, because that opens us up to lawsuits. And we've had them before from people who are in wheelchairs who have actually contacted the federal government, and they come after us, and they have done that in the past. So I know we have an inventory. Bob's got an inventory of all those sidewalks, and we need to address that at some point. And I'm somewhat frustrated that when we have available large amounts of CMAQ money, if they're available, that it doesn't go to that purpose. So that's just my pet peeve on this thing. And it's something I don't want councils to have to deal with like we had to in the past, or we have to take our whole budget and restructure it to figure out how to pay for a certain sidewalk in a part of town. So that's it. Anyway, Crystal, thank you for the work.
Mr. Barney?
I would like to ditto that. Thank you both for the hard work you put into this.
All right. Seeing no more comments, Madam Clerk, will you call the roll?
On the motion to approve resolution 5207, Mr. Cleworth?
Yes.
Mr. Barney?
Yes.
Mr. Ringstein?
Yes.
Ms. Sprinkle?
Yes.
Ms. Therrien?
Yes.
Ms. Tidwell?
All right, unanimously approved by the City Council is resolution number 5207. We are back to committee reports and council member comments. Are there any further comments or committee reports? I did want to give Mr. Sanders an opportunity to talk about the storefront improvement program and the recent allegations that we made with this year's funding.
All right, thank you, Mayor, thank you, Council. So we had eight applications submitted for the storefront improvement program this year. The evaluation committee approved seven of those applications. One wasn't actually connected to a building inside the project area, so we couldn't approve that one. Of the seven that did get approved, Alaska Gold Works will receive a reimbursement of up to $10,000 for chainsaw art, new lighting and a fence for their shop. Festival Fairbanks will receive reimbursement of up to $34,378 for work on the retail chalets and for the starter block project. Lucky Dog Grooming, just across the street here, will receive up to $10,000 reimbursement for a mural and a facade repair and paint for their building. Mammy Properties, the Northward Building, this is a pretty cool project. They are putting in a ground floor restaurant, so they're going to be adding windows and lights and everything you could imagine that, they pretty much checked every box that the storefront improvement program has, and their rendering was pretty nice looking. It'll really activate that area. So that's for a restaurant in the Northward Building. OFD, it's one of the buildings here on Barnett. They're doing windows, lights, and siding. S&T Investments, the neighbor on Barnett, they're doing windows this year, and they have a lot of windows, and then siding next year. And then the Tinson Group, which is 400 Cushman, it's what is it again? Macchio? No. I forget the name of the business.
Oh, it's that Michiko.
Michiko, yes. Yes, that's it. Yeah, I can never remember what. I remember it starts with an M. I can never remember what it is. That building, they're looking to do paint, a new awning, a new backlit awning, which in the rendering looks like it'll be pretty interesting. And then just a big sign for what they're doing. And we had $250,000 worth of bed tax special projects money for that, and with the seven different applications, we came up to $241,103. So we still, we saved or didn't save. We didn't spend $8,897. But Margarita tells me that there's already things that we can use for that for a special project. So we're going to go ahead and call it a wrap for storefront improvement and not do round two this year and have it all knocked out in the first one. Our storefront improvements from last year, most of those should be hitting this summer. The Ice Museum, Lacey Street Theater, they're going to be restoring their marquee that was their project from last year. But I already gave them a 6-month extension because they couldn't get to half their building because we had Lacey Street blocked. And when we block Lacey Street this year, we are going to allow them to get in there and do their work.
Mr. Reitzer?
So, most of it's going this year. The ones you just told us about, when are they going to start doing theirs?
Some of them are planning on doing it this year. Some of them already have contractors lined up. One of them already sent me the paperwork. He already put a deposit down, and we'll begin getting it started fairly soon. So hopefully this year, because we got it out much earlier this year than we did last year. So hopefully this year we'll see some big improvements downtown.
Mr. Dwell?
How much did the one for the restaurant in the Northwood building, how much did that one get?
$50,000.
Mr. Barney?
Could you send that to us, an email with those names and figures for me?
For sure. That's one thing I wanted to do. I just have been kind of swamped. I haven't gotten to it yet, but okay, I am going to do a full memo like I did last year with all the details.
Okay, well, thank you. Sure. And then the other thing, where is the cabin in the process here?
Oh, just today, Mary O'Neill and I talked to with the Yukon Quest folks. They did need one more month, so they were going to be out by May 1st. They have a lot of stuff in there. They've been in there for 19 years maybe. So they have a lot that's accumulated in there. I was through there last week, and even just walking through, I was like, there's no way they're going to have it out by May 1st. So they did ask for another month. So June 1st is what they're looking at, but Public Works has already been in there, looking to see what repairs we'll need to make. You know, anytime you have a long-term tenant like that, you're going to have repairs that you have to make. So we're ready, and we have, we had several proposals. We had five total, proposals for that. A couple that were really good. So, yeah, we should have something in there this summer. You're welcome.
Ms. Therrien.
So, Mike, we're not going to leave that building empty this summer. There'll be somebody to be able to get in there pretty quickly.
It should be pretty quickly, Ms. Therrien. The only thing is we will have to do some repairs and stuff. So it's not going to be, you know, like on June 1st when the Yukon Quest is out. It's not, you know, it won't be, you know, 2 days later something else is there. There'll be some repairs and stuff that have to happen. But we'll have people in there this summer.
We're shooting for a golden days. Opening. Okay. Thank you. Ms. Sprinkle?
Yes.
I would like to do something for work session, so I'll just wait for a minute. Okay. Thanks. Mr. Cleaver?
Thank you, Mayor. On the agenda here, next Tuesday, we're going to be looking at the RFP. If we could get that in advance of that meeting, I certainly would appreciate it, rather than to try and digest it all that morning, to make any kind of comments on it, because it has to be introduced on April 27th for council approval. I know we all look at these things a little different, and I look for simplicity, and others may not. They want to put a lot of stuff in there, so I expect it to be, you know, possibly a long meeting and hearing everybody's ideas. My concern is, how is that going to be incorporated? We can't take votes here. I'm looking for some ideas as to how they take the discussion from that meeting and incorporate it into the RFP. So, anybody?
There's an amendment process that.
Amend the RFP from the floor on the 27th.
You also have an opportunity to submit a substitute or, you know, that based on the comments.
I mean, I looked at the RFI and I didn't find it real inviting, and apparently they didn't find it inviting. But our discussions back 6 months ago were that if I were a serious candidate for putting up a project there, I would not respond to an RFA because I'm tipping my hand on that. And I assume part of that's there. Or maybe even with the RFP, we get nothing. Maybe Mr. Hayden is correct and that piece of property isn't as glorious as we think it is, and you look for something smaller. Who knows? He might be correct on that. So we'll find out, but I think that RFP and how it's constructed, it needs to be invited. That's it. Thank you.
Sprinkle.
I just wanted to let all of you know that I took the city survey that I thought was pretty interesting. I don't know if any of you tried it. It just helps me understand where
where maybe the administration is trying to drive the conversation. It seemed harmless enough and quite helpful in, I think, beyond just the Polaris, but just generally our downtown spaces. So you have a chance. I think it's an interesting conversation I had with myself. So I recommend it.
Thank you, Ms. Sprinkle. Any other comments or committee reports, Ms. Therrien?
I'm sorry, I'm not going to be here to work on the RFP, but I'm sure with the other five of us, we'll have lots to talk about. So do your best. That's all I can say. Thank you.
Thank you. I just want to extend my thanks and appreciation to the council for meeting on Saturday. I thought it was a great session. I was very tired afterwards, and that's pretty typical when you do a lot of work like that. And I don't know if you experienced that as well, but once I took a nap and I had time to reflect back, I was really, I felt like that was a very enlightening session, and I thought it was good for us, and most importantly, good for the citizens of Fairbanks. So thanks for your indulgence, and I appreciate the work that we did together. And look forward to sharing that out with you. Moving on to City Clerk's report.
The second regular meeting in May, Council, I will be out of town, as will my deputy clerk. Will actually be at the same training session unless the council tells me not to go. So I'm just putting that out there to you. I would, of course, have arrangements made for someone to run the technology here in my absence, and I would attend remotely if I can go. I would just like your feedback, if any, on that. That's all I have.
I think Tom should do it.
He actually already volunteered, Mr. Cleworth, that... because of course he would. It's the second regular meeting in May, and I can't remember the date. I thought maybe I would suggest moving the meeting, but we already have back-to-back meetings because of a holiday, and it's just not going to work to shuffle around the schedule. So.
You can call in or be on Zoom.
Yes, ma'am.
Is it an emergency time zone?
Yes, ma'am. It's only an hour, I think, different.
I
absolutely know you can, but it's somewhat unprecedented for the clerk not to be present for a meeting, is all. She'll be at the same place I will be.
All right. Item 18, City Attorney's Report.
Looks like I got at least a month and a half to learn how to push buttons. happily, we'll help out in that if I can. I'm not sure if I'm on the same plane, Councilmember Ringstead and Therrien, as you two, but I'm headed out tonight as well. And I'll be out for the next couple of days, but on my phone and gadgets. So if you need me, feel free to reach out. My deputy's got it under control. My legal secretary's great. Our office is no longer treading. They suggested that we were at least a doggy paddle today. So I feel like that's some forward movement, which I'm very happy about. And that's it. I appreciate everybody on council, as always.
Thank you. Item 19 is an executive session, which has not been noticed. Item 20 is adjournment. So at 7:40, we are adjourned.